Hello, and welcome to the OnFIF podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we talk about sustainable finance.
We did a report with UNEP last year that looked at this and found that there was a $3 trillion investment gap between now and 2030, just in terms of green finance here in Southeast Asia.
We talked to Mikhail Larsen, Chief Sustainability Officer at DBS Bank here in Singapore. Mikhail, good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I'd like to go straight into the question. Singapore has recently announced the act of imposing carbon taxes to cut greenhouse gas emissions, also to make companies more competitive as global agreements on climate change will take effect. What are the challenges in rolling out such initiatives and how effective will it be in combating climate change?
I think we got to give credit to Singapore for taking this step forward. Clearly, Singapore have seen the writing on the walls that with the climate changes coming up and with the national targets that we're seeing, we are bound to miss the 2 degrees increase in temperature that will keep the world safe. So you got to give them credit for taking steps. We saw a recent report from Carbon Brief that suggested that we really only got 4 years left on our so-called carbon budget unless we are getting to a situation where we have irreversible damage. I think it's good that we are seeing carbon pricing and carbon taxes happening, not just in Singapore, but in other countries, because it's a way to put a price on externalities that we haven't really seen before. And without that, you really have a distortion of pricing, not just of services, but also, of course, of energy. And when you compare renewable energy to conventional energy, the challenge of implementing something of that is, of course, you have to align somewhat with other economies. And there is a competitive situation that you have to consider as well. The other thing is adhering to an 80-20 rules where you're trying to get as much impact as you possibly can without having to impact every single company. There are some interesting studies done that suggest that with the carbon tax that is being introduced in Singapore, the impact on the end consumer will actually be quite low, but you do want to impact as many links in the value chain as you possibly can by introducing something like that. I suspect that Singapore will be maybe one of the leaders here, but you'll see other countries follow in the near future.
So do you think Singapore could be doing more or less in terms of incentivization and taxation?
In a sense, I think we could all be doing more. The question is, how much is actually feasible to do, given that Singapore still have a national economy to run? And I gotta believe that Singapore is one of the more progressive ones.
Definitely speaking in a regional context, I agree as well. So I know DBS itself has worked with the IIX, or the Impact Investment Exchange, to produce the world's first social sustainability bond, named the Woman's Livelihood Bond, to be listed on a stock exchange. What does this mean for social capital markets and also capital markets more broadly?
Thank you for the question. This is just one of the initiative that we've been doing. We've also issued a green bond. We just did a club loan to a very large company here where the interest rate was linked to ESG, and we've done many other things. So this women livelihood bond that we did should not be seen in isolation, but speaking specifically about that, it is a way to allow a relatively small investment that would actually see improvement in livelihoods for 635,000 people, I believe, in women in free markets for us. And to that extent, you'd be surprised by how far you can get actually in terms of improving economic conditions for women with a relatively small capital market investment. Now, this is a trend I believe we will see picking up. So far what we've seen in the market is that green bond dominates. It's much easier to get your head around a green investment. It's much more difficult to think about a socially responsible investment. What is that really? Now, in this case here, it's relatively clear, but I think that as we progress and we get more aware of the trade-off between social and green in some respect, you'd need to see a more balanced approach in terms of capital market investing, both in greens and social bonds. And you have also no pay, no cure type bonds, which I think you'll also see picking up quite a lot.
Very good. Now, I know DBS also have a set of sustainable development goals, which are of course available on your website, I'm sure. These include responsible banking, responsible corporate citizenship, creating social impact. Which do you see in having the biggest impact on sustainable efforts?
Just to clarify, we actually have picked 4 of the 17 global sustainability goals, and they are a mix of climate related and those relating to economic growth. And we've chosen those 4 deliberately because we believe this is where we can make the most impact. Obviously, all 17 sustainability goals are probably of equally relevance, but it doesn't mean that DBS has a chance to impact them in equal measure. So we've chosen those also to represent the balance that we think is important. On one hand, no doubt, we're living in a region where climate change will have dramatic effects, and Southeast Asia and larger Asia is a major contributor to that climate change. But on the other hand, we're also surrounded by poverty, and so it's important to find a balance of these causes here, recognizing that although climate change in the long term may have a disproportionately large impact on people living in poverty, in the very short term, poverty is something that needs to be addressed, and for that you need economic progress. So asking the question about where do I see most impact, I actually think they go hand in hand. We can't have a sustainable change in climate unless we also improve people's livelihoods. So for that reason, we chosen specifically sustainability goal number 7, 8, 12 and 13. You asked a related question here when you mentioned the types of areas that we're focusing on. And I would say if you think about those areas, what can we as a bank have the biggest influence on is clearly through who we lend to. So of those areas that you mentioned is the sustainable finance or responsible finance, which is a subset of the former. It's really about making sure that we have strong principles and policies in place, making sure that we lend to the right people, and that we promote investment in what will carry us towards a more sustainable future in terms both of climate and social impact. But that does not mean, just to add on, that doesn't mean that we don't need to greenify our own operations. I don't think any bank is credible in trying to promote sustainable finance if they're not trying to do something about their own house. And so to that extent, we've done quite a bit. We signed up to RE100, which is basically means renewable energy 100%, to make a commitment to the fact that we want to be powering by renewable energy only.
Very good. So alluding to that last point you made as well, why is it so crucial for businesses to promote sustainable business development?
Well, I could give you a number of answers. I'd start with a simple thing that I believe is the right thing to do, but not everybody buys that argument. And so you would have to substitute that by at least two more arguments. And for me, there's no contradiction between doing what feels right and what actually can be good business. We did a report with UNEP last year that looked at this and found that there was a $3 trillion investment gap between now and 2030, just in terms of green finance here in Southeast Asia. And so investment opportunities and also lending opportunities are abound. They're not all going to be equally profitable, but and some of them come with real problems. But I do believe that there's a market here. So if nothing else, there's an investment opportunity here. And the third argument I would use is simply becoming an expectation. There's no doubt that society has raised the bar on what it means to be a sustainable company, including a sustainable bank. And the expectations are so much higher that we take an active role in some of these things. But it's not just society. It's not just regulators. It's not just investors who are expecting this with us, it's also our customers. They're saying, you know, we want to undertake our own journeys in sustainability. What can you offer to be there? And if we don't have a response to that, that's not really meeting our customers' expectations. But maybe the most important bit, after all, is our employees. So when I speak to people at DBS, and we did it relatively systematically, there is a resounding answer that sustainability has to be part of what we're about. And so, if nothing else, to attract talent from these millennials and to keep a company that everybody wants to work for, I think sustainability have to be core. And I always make the argument that really what you can only hope for is one day we don't have this term sustainability anymore, because it's just part of how we do business. But obviously that's me daydreaming, and it will take a while before we get there, right?
Well, I hope it's not a daydream and it does become part of the normal conversation before too long.
I do hope so too.
So just going back to, if I may, the issue of the green investment gap, do you see that there's space for multilateral development banks and other multilateral institutions to play more of a brokerage role between the financiers, as DBS, the government officials, the regulators?
It's a very valid question. I don't know if I would use the term brokering role, but there's no doubt that we need to use these entities as catalysts. It's sad to see that today that for every dollar one of these banks puts in, the impact on private finance is less than a dollar. You would expect them to be a multiple of that, right? So there's no doubt that they have a tremendous role in bridging some of these situations where either the risk is too high, or for other reasons, the returns matrix just doesn't really work out for commercial banks, and where they can come in and give either some credit protection or offer some kind of mezzanine tranche in the financing. That's really what we need them to do. And we've seen a lot of that. It's just not happening as fast as we all wanted to do, right?
We were ever, ever impatient in this part of the world.
Of course we are.
Well, thank you very much, Mikhail. I hope the work you're doing in DBS as well, regards to sustainability, goes beyond just the office as well. And I know when you came into our recording studio here, earlier, you mentioned about the plastic tree that was in the recording studio, and you thought that was quite symbolic of Singapore in a way. I don't know if you want to explain that.
Well, I admire this country so very, very much, but I do remember the first time I came to Singapore, it was one of the things that struck me. I come from Denmark, where obviously we have a lot of forest, and so when I came here, I appreciated I was moving into a city landscape, and I want to say that Singapore has done a lot to greenify its environment, but I still see all these plastic trees standing around different places. It took me a while to get used to it, because at the end of the day, it's actually just producing more plastic, and we need less plastic, not more. But I accept that people start to feel differently when they're around these things, so maybe it's all for the good, but I must admit it took me a while to just overcome that mental hurdle of plastic being equal to the environment.
There we go, we all have our own mental hurdles. No, thank you very much, Mikko, that was a very good comprehensive analysis of sustainable finance and the role of DBS within the region and globally as well. It was good to touch upon the impact of final users in regards to taxation on carbon and other taxes, also the issues of what constitutes a socially responsible investment, and as well as the Southeast Asian green investment gap. At OnFIF, of course, we're paying a lot of close attention to these issues. On the 17th of July here in Singapore, we'll be holding a high-level dialogue along with our colleagues at the BIS and several other multilateral institutions, and that will be looking at carbon taxation, integrating ESG considerations into the investment mix, and some other issues as well. And you can find further details of that on our website. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoyed the podcast, and thank you again, Mikko.